This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdullahi wa rasuluh. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, we ask Him for His mercy. We testify with firmness and conviction that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. Ahibbati fillah, those who we love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you once again in this wonderfully named masjid, this place of rahmah, this place of the gathering of the angels, this place that is in the remembrance and inshaAllah in the reward of a sahabi and jaleel, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, in Bukidda Mansara, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us in this blessed spot, and in this blessed time after finishing our salah, salat al-maghrib, that He makes us from those who are fa'izin, successful. Allahumma ja'alna min al-fa'izin. Allahumma ja'alna min al-fa'izin. Allahumma ja'alna min al-fa'izin. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us from our different cities and different countries, only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for His dhikr, that He gathers us all once again in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Ahibbati fillah, my dear brothers and sisters, we have a wonderful journey today. Today our journey is with Kitabillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah, Al-Qur'an. And when we speak about the Qur'an, it is a moment of humbleness and a moment of awe. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the traditions that came before us, in the scriptures of Bani Israel, in the scriptures that were given to Musa and Isa and those before them, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has always connected humanity with Himself through revelation, through wahi. But something miraculous happened. From the time of Adam until Isa, from Adam until Isa, not for a moment was the earth without a prophet or a messenger walking on it. There was always rusulan tatra, messengers that Allah would not just send one or two, sometimes He would send groups. So you would not be surprised to hear of Zakariya and Yahya and Isa together. You are not surprised to hear of Musa, wa Harun, wa Yusha together. And then something happened. The revelation was suspended. The communication from al-mala al-a'la, from the heavens, was held back. Not for 1 year, or 2 years, or 10 years, or 100 years. But for more than 600 years, no one walked the earth who claimed that Allah revealed to him something. This was unprecedented. Bani Israel, the Jews, our cousins in faith, were perplexed. We've always had someone to turn to. Always had someone to speak with. Even within them, no one claimed it. Everyone was silent. after the rising of Isa alayhi salam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, as it narrated in Imam al-Bukhari's book, that there was no Nabi between him and Isa alayhi salam. 600 years of darkness, 600 years of zulm, 600 years of no revelation. Bani Israel spread throughout the earth. It has always been their habit to look for a prophet amongst themselves. Whenever they wanted to see a Nabi, they would look to the 12 tribes, Bani Israel. But the light that was to shine and that remains brilliant to this day upon the earth was not attached to the life and death of a man. The light that was to descend upon this dunya, that would fill every corner with brilliance and radiance, so that you and I sit in Damansara, and my brother is waking up to pray Fajr right now in Toronto, Canada. So that your cousins of faith, your believing relatives in India, in South Africa, in Argentina, in China, in Russia, in America, will wake up to recite that final communication that was sent to all of humanity, not to a segment of people, not to a children of a prophet, not to the ancestry of a Rasul, but لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةِ Al-Qur'an was sent by Allah after a purging and after a moment of darkness when everyone looked in the earth and said, where is the light? Where is the light? Where can we find guidance? It came in the darkest of places and was revealed amongst those who were looked down upon and was given to one who could not read and write, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iqra, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iqra, read it. And the word iqra, it gives us the word Qur'an. Iqra means read, Qur'an means I'm reading it. What should I read? The Qur'an. Iqra al-Qur'an. Iqra, ma ana biqara. What am I to read? I don't know. We've never heard of this. We have not been given this light before. It was always amongst the others, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهِ هُدًى وَنُورٍ. We sent the Torah, we sent the scripture to Bani Israel with guidance and light. But that light began to grow dim with the corruption of the hands of man, with the forgeries of the tongue of people, with the omissions and subtractions and additions and alterations. So Allah sent a kitab as a miracle, not to give life to the dead, not to cure the blind, or to help the ill, or to split the sea. Not miracles that are given to a moment of time and to a person to feel, but an eternal miracle that stands the test of time, that is memorized even by those who cannot articulate its words other than from their heart. Know it, but don't know its meaning. Kitabullah, the book of Allah. After that darkness, the light shone. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your Nabi, my Nabi. How great it is that taftakhir. You have this honor that you can ascribe yourself لأن نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The imams, when they write about our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they said, أتقى قلب. The most righteous heart was the heart of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because the mountains, if this Qur'an was to be revealed upon them, as our Imam, Jazahullah Khair, he began the ending of Surah Al-Hashr. The ayah before where he began, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. If this Quran was to be sent on a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ, you would see it, meaning physically, your eyes in real life, tangibly, you would see this mountain shake and shudder and crumble, مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, because of خَشْيَة. خَشْيَة is not fear. It's mistranslated sometimes. خَشْيَة means awareness of why to fear. It's not, sometimes you're afraid. Some people are afraid of the dark. They shouldn't be afraid of the dark. They're afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. But khashya, you know the reason. You know why to be fearful of Allah. The Quran, if it was to be given to a mountain that has no heart, that has no mind, it would understand the gravity of it. And therefore the heart that received that Quran had to be the purest of hearts, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we talk about the Quran, you have to talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad is the one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who Allah spoke of his physical features as being blessed by Allah. Allah says, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. His eyes never exceeded a limit, nor were they deluded. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادِ مَا رَأَى. His heart did not lie to him about what it had witnessed. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. His mouth, his ability to speak, does not ever come from his own volition or opinion. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Rather, it is revelation revealed unto him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the one who was fit to receive the Qur'an. This eternal, final message that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our Nabi was not accidental, and it did not arrive according to circumstance alone. Sometimes when we open the Qur'an and we look into Surah Ali Imran or Surah Al-Baqarah or Surah Al-Ma'idah, you begin to notice moments in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The Battle of Badr occurred. You can find it in Surah Al-Anfal. Right? You can see the seerah, the life history of the Prophet ﷺ. But you have to understand, my dear brother, my dear sister in Al-Islam, from our aqeedah is that this Qur'an predated Muhammad ﷺ. That the Qur'an was before the need for it to be sent. And therefore Allah gives us this in the Quran often. One example, all of us know the beginning verses of Surah Ar-Rahman. What does Allah say? First ayah, Ar-Rahman, the ever merciful, the Lord of mercy. Ha, what? Allaman? Allama al-Quran. He taught the Quran. Then, khalaq al-insan, created insan. It almost as if it's in the wrong order. Shouldn't it be Ar-Rahman, خلق الإنسان, علمه القرآن? Shouldn't it be, you would think, if it was that the Qur'an was sent as occurrences happened, okay, this happened, Ya Muhammad, here is the ayah that you need. No. This Qur'an predates you and I. This Qur'an was fit and complete before your creation, before the creation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Its knowledge is eternal, because the knowledge of Allah transcends time. Do not think that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ هِمَا أَبُو بَكْرِ النَّغَارِ, that it's Allah speaking at that moment because it's happened. لا. So this Qur'an and its constitution, its laws and its guidance, its huda and its light, its nur and the yaqeen it builds in your heart is intentional and predates mankind. This is the complete message that Allah wished for all humanity. And therefore Allah says, مُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. We sent this Qur'an, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not to cancel out everything before it, but to complete its favor and to correct the errors that were found therein. When we look at the Torah, we don't say the Torah rubbish. No, the Torah is the word of Allah, that which agrees with the Quran. And it is the words corrupted by man when it disagrees with the Quran. And that which is not in agreement or disagreement with the Quran, we say Allahu A'lam, but we do not denounce it. Could be the word of Allah. But the Quran, muhaiminan alayh, completes its favor. Abdullah, amatullah. O servant of Allah, you have now been given possession of the final message. After 600 years of darkness, Allah gave light. And not just gave light, but gave it to the best person to deliver the light, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The cleanest heart, the best insight, the most honest in word, the most truthful in conduct, the ones that even those who hated him trusted him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one that those who opposed him still honored him. Could not come to the fact to even assault him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without him being aware that they were against him. They would tell him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the people of Quraysh, that we oppose you. They could not come to the fact to have nifaq, dishonesty towards him, to placate him, because they honored his position amongst them. So the best man with the final, most virtuous and blessed message delivered to you completely, carried by al-udul, carried from one generation to the next by the honorable amongst society. When our imam stands and recites from the Quran, I or some of you, if he makes a mistake, we stop him, correct him. It's not kasra, it's fatha, even in a vowel. Right? Even in the vowels, not just the letters. Even if it hasn't changed the meaning, we still stop him to make the Quran complete the way it was recited by whom? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it has arrived to you mutawatir, complete in its narration, complete in its form, complete in its sound, complete in its script, complete in its meaning. And now the question that is put before us is living with the Quran. This is the reality. And this is sometimes heavy. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our heart. Abdullah, the Quran was sent as if it is sent to you. To you. It's yours. And look at how Allah speaks to you. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. You believe? Do you believe or you kind of believe? I think I believe or I do believe? So Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who already, it's past tense. It's not O you who are trying to believe, who will be convinced after reading this to believe. No. When Allah speaks to the believers, He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. You already believe. Aminu billah. Believe again in Allah. Allahu Akbar. Iman and living this Quran requires consistency and constancy. And it requires that ability to understand the gravity of this kitab that is in front of you. See, we are usually taught the routines. None of us is going to put the Quran, akramakumullah, a'azzakumullah, on the ground. No one will do it. No one. But there are many, when the time of Fajr comes, hayya ala salah, and the ayah of the Quran, inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. They throw the Quran to the ground in action. Maybe not physically. أَلْقَوْهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Allah describes the nations before us, that how did they throw away the Qur'an? They put it behind their back as if they don't understand it. When we talk about leaving the Qur'an, it is a discussion of amana, a trust. Allah has made between you and I a deal. He has said, and the Prophet ﷺ says, as is narrated in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. He says to him, Ya Mu'adh, Mu'adh, do you know ma haqqullahi ala al-ibad? Do you know what Allah demands of His servants? What? An ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay. Worship Him and don't worship with Him anything. Sounds easy. It's easy. What? Brother Yahya, I don't worship anything other than Allah. But do you worship Allah the way He intends? And the way taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Are you following that path that Aisha describes radiallahu anha, as is narrated in al-Bukhari wa Muslim? When she's asked, describe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We didn't see him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Aisha, we live with you now. You were married to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was he like? Describe him. What were his characteristics? What were his habits? How did he come and go? How did he live? She says, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. In another narration, كَانَ الْقُرْآنُ يَمْشِي بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. He was the Qur'an embodied, living, walking amongst people. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. How do we live the Qur'an? We're going to look at 5 steps. And each step builds to the next step. Never, my dear brother and sister in al-Islam, take hold of Islam too quickly. Never. The Prophet ﷺ would stop the Sahaba. And he would say, "Man shadda ad-deen ghalaba." The one who tries to force religion into himself, it will throw him out. It will throw him down. Some of the Sahaba, some of the best of the Sahaba, they would make the mistake of not doing too little, but doing too much. As is in the famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ hears that 3 individuals, one of them said, I don't have time to get married. If I get married, I have children, I have to earn an income, I have to look after. No, I need time for ibadah. I don't have time for marriage. I'm going to live single so I can worship Allah. Another one said, I don't have time for sleep at night. I'm going to sleep by day. Nighttime, I'm going to worship Allah. Another one said, I'm going to fast, siyam, every day, from morning till night, every day of my life. The Prophet heard this and said, come here. قَدْ تَزَوَّجْتُ النِّسَاءَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I married from women. وَإِنِّي أَنَامُ وَأُصَلِّي. أَصَلِّي وَأَنَامُ. I pray and I sleep. وَأَصُومُ وَأُفْطِرُ. I fast and I break my fast. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The one who strays and goes away from my path, from my sunnah, cannot be from me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Living the Qur'an, therefore, becomes ta'assi, modeling ourselves after when Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here are 5 stages. You cannot go from one to the next unless you consolidate it and build that foundation. The first and most important stage is ilm, knowledge. How can you approach the Qur'an when you don't know what's in it? And when I say what's in it, I don't mean from the beginning to the end, but have a coherence of its meaning. We're going to look at Surah Al-Fatiha and the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, because I want you to understand that the Qur'an is succinct. It has motives and it has messages one after another. And I want to talk to you about the last surah of the Qur'an. We begin the Qur'an with Al-Basmala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Everything with the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Lord of Mercy. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We begin to praise Allah. Alhamdulillah, the Lord of all that exists. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What is His greatest thing that we should be thankful for? He is Rahman, He is Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin, we're going to be accountable to Him. Iyaka Na'bud. Now you make a testimony. Only you. Ya Allah, you are Rahman, you are Rahim, you are Al-Malik, you are the one who is going to look after me and account for me. Therefore, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Only you do I worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Only you I'm going to ask for help. But I need your help, Ya Allah. I want only you. But إِهْدِنِي. Ya Allah, help me. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, show me the way. I don't know which way to go. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Which way is it? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. I hear of those who came before me, who you have given ni'mah, you blessed. They died and we are sure that they were on the correct path. Lead me to the path of them. Even Muhammad ﷺ followed the path of those who came before him. Muhammad ﷺ is ordered in the Quran, وَأَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Follow the way of Ibrahim. Follow the way of Musa. Follow the way of Isa. Oh Allah, save me. Save me from who? Al-maghdubi alayhim. Those who anger you. Wal-dhalin. And those who are misguided. Ameen ya Rabb. Then Allah tells you the answer to your dua. You asked, you said, ihdina. Oh Allah, give me guidance. Alif lam mim. Thalika al-kitab. It's in this book. La rayba fi. No doubt, no confusion, no misguidance, no crookedness is in it. Hudan lilmuttaqin. It will be hidayah, but not for everyone. For who? Lil? For who? Hudan lil? Muttaqin. Only the one who has taqwa. That means there are two people who hold this Quran. One of them looks into it, sees nothing important. He reads it, understands its words, understands its meaning, but has nothing that will change its heart in it. Another one who doesn't understand the meaning as much, who may not know its words with as much detail, but they look in it, and because they have taqwa in the heart, it's light and guidance for them. Hudan. Lil muttaqin. So only the sincere of heart will benefit from the Quran. Only the sincere in knowledge will benefit from the Quran. So the first step is not knowledge of information. It is knowledge of sincerity. I want to know you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, open the Quran for me. Allow me to learn its meaning, its detail, how to apply it in my life. Ya Allah, guide me to a teacher who will teach me. Ya Allah, help me to raise funds that I can study. Ya Allah, bless me with a husband or a wife or children or a teacher or friends who will help me in understanding something from the Quran. Hudan lil muttaqin. Who is the muttaqi? Alladhina yu'minun. They already believe. Bil ghayb. The first most important step of taqwa is to believe in the unseen. Allah is unseen. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not seen to you. You never heard or saw the Quran recited by him. Don't you ever wonder about people who would come to his masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were poets, who were Arabic fluent in its meaning and word, and they would hear the with his own voice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not somebody else's voice. Could you imagine Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting to you the Quran, and you would not have softness in your heart? No. Because they didn't have taqwa. Doesn't matter how much Arabi they know. It doesn't matter who reads it to them. Not even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could move قُلُوبُهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Hard-hearted. Unwilling to accept the truth. The last surah of the Quran is linked with the first surah. Because the Quran was sent with the intention of repetitiveness. That even the last letter of the Quran, it leads you into the next beginning surah. من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There's a vowel on the last letter of the Quran that indicates to begin the next statement. Look at this surah. And I want it to be a change in your life, inshaAllah. It is as if the believer is screaming out to Allah. You are saying, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Oh Allah, I seek protection with the Lord of mankind. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. So first, رَبِّ, the Lord. مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. Ya Allah, what do you say in Surah Al-Fatiha? مَلِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Now it is, you are Malik al-Nas. You know what it's like to live amongst these people, and you know that you're going to hold me accountable for it in the next life. Ilahi al-Nas. You are the one that all mankind should worship. Those three statements, it's as if you are shouting out to Allah. It's like you are making mubahala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Save me. From whom? مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Save me from those who seek to take me away from you, O Allah. Everything from the beginning of the Qur'an until this surah leads us to this recognition that you have to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity of knowledge in seeking Him. Once you begin to look into the Qur'an with taqwa, with the intent of coming closer to Allah, the second step is recitation, reading. And you say, Brother Yahya, you know, reading the Qur'an is good, but I don't understand it sometimes. Khair. The Imams tell us, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahi alayhi, he says, النَّظَرِ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ عِبَادَةً. Just to gaze in the Mus'haf is worship. وَتَدْوِينُهُ عِبَادَةً. To write it is worship. وَسَمَاعُهُ عِبَادَةً. To hear it is worship. وَنُطْقُهُ عِبَادَةً. To utter it, عِبَادَةً. A letter. You can say A, B, C. Or you can say Alif, Lam, Mim. There's a huge difference between the two. Alif, Lam, Mim. 10, 10, 10. 30 hasanat between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah. And Allah enters these words, Alif, these letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, intentionally for us, Arab and non-Arab, to understand that even the letters of the Qur'an are sacred. Not just the words, not just the ayah, but the letter itself is sacred. So you begin to recite the Qur'an. And every home must become acquainted with the reading of the Qur'an. Every Muslim's mission in life is to be able and to seek to read the Qur'an properly. I don't mean you have to sound good, but you have to read it properly. Not everyone is going to sound like Sheikh Sudais. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But everyone can read with tajweed. It's effort. And therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as is narrated by Imam Muslim, الماهر بالقرآن مع السفرة الكرام البررة. The one who is skilled, he is prestigious in his reading, he's lofty in his ability to recite the Qur'an with expedience, is at the level of a safarat al-kiram al-barra, the angels, the noted notaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِي يَقَرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَيُتَعْتِعُ فِيهِ. But the one who reads the Qur'an and stumbles in it, the Prophet ﷺ uses the word يُتَعْتِعُ فِيهِ. He's telling you stumbles in it. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ. And it gives him much difficulty. لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. To that man and woman is double the reward of the first. Allahu Akbar. Put effort in the reading of the Qur'an. Put effort in the listening of the Qur'an. Put effort in the studies and the classes that teach the Qur'an. Ilm of sincerity, meaning, seek its meaning. Second, be connected with its recitation. The Imams of Ahl Sunnah could not, wallahi, I cannot imagine that they could imagine the days we are in today. Someone like an Imam al-Shafi'i who would recite the Qur'an every day of his life. And in Ramadan twice a day. في غير صلاة, in other than prayer. Same with an Imam Abu Hanifa. I cannot imagine what they would think of our life today. Is that the adhan outside? Allah barak feekum. We'll take a pause for the adhan and continue for another 15 minutes inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Third, it's important for us as believers to become from those who actively seek to apply the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us about those who came before us, that they used to recite the Qur'an but not live the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O you who believe, why do you speak a word that which you yourself do not practice? Grievous is the sin before Allah that you say to others that which you yourself do not do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us of being from those who take the Qur'an in script and in sound and in sight, but not in physical reality. And when you say, brother, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, we live in Malaysia, brother. Everything is halal, alhamdulillah. It's not, you know, what do you mean, live the Qur'an? No, the Qur'an is a book of truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمُ الْكِتَابِ, we reveal to you the book, والميزان, and its balance, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, for the purpose of mankind establishing justice amongst one another. And therefore, whenever your tongue speaks ill of another, or your eyes transgress to another, or you listen to that which is wrong, or you act upon that which is not true, or your heart is jealous of others, you have left the teachings of the Qur'an. It becomes important upon you to moderate your behavior towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the balance of the book of Allah. And therefore, when you listen to the words of the prophets who came before us, they spoke to their people very simple words. And when their people left them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of Nuh with a flood, and the people of Ad, and the people of Thamud. And you think, oh, these people, they were horrible people. But what was it that Nuh was saying? قَالَ نُوحٌ يَا قَوْمِ اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah, worship Allah, you don't have anyone else to worship. He wasn't asking them for great many things. He was speaking to them about simple things in life. It is necessary for you and I to understand the importance of the application of the Qur'an. It's not about hudud, punishment. Say, oh brother, yeah, I know the Qur'an is... No! When we look into the Qur'an as an active form of life, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, don't speak ill of someone outside his presence. Don't look into someone else's life the way you don't want to look into someone to look in yours. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, speak words that are straightforward. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, obey Allah through the obedience of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first is knowledge. Second is reading and connection to the Word of Allah. Third is active implementation. Looking for avenues in your life to add something from the Qur'an that you are not yet doing, or to take out something that the Qur'an asks you to leave. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, I would only learn 10 ayat, and when I began to use them, then I would learn 10 more. Then I would learn 10 more when I saw the effect of the Qur'an in my life. Number four, share it with others. Abdullah, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Share with others even if it is one ayah. خَيْرُكُمْ, the best of you, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, is the best to learn and teach. And when I say learn and teach, it could be you teaching your husband. And I don't mean you teaching an ayah or how to read it correctly. But it could be, maybe you were at home, you had YouTube on, Sheikh Yahya on YouTube. He's in your home. Right? You're listening to one of the imams on YouTube. Your husband, maybe he was at work. Maybe you were driving, you heard something someone has not heard. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي. Transmit what others have not heard. The Prophet ﷺ's words reach us today because of this. Amana. That what we have of the Qur'an, we give to others. We share with others. Even if we think it's little. Even if it is an ayah. Number five, fifth and finally. Seek Allah through it. Use the Qur'an to become closer to Allah. Everything you do, seek Allah through it. Yesterday or the day before, I was filming some episodes for TV broadcasts in someone's home. And there were two or three other people in this episode who we are talking, you know, professional, someone who works for Google, someone, or, you know, and we're talking about Islam and corporate life and, you know, these kind of things. And the brothers and the sisters, they were a little bit nervous. And I said to them one thing. I told them, this is for Allah. If people like you, they like you. If they don't like you, it's for Allah. If people hear it and benefit, alhamdulillah. If they hear it and turn it off, alhamdulillah. Because your niyyah is for Allah. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. Someone, Muhammad ﷺ would come to Abu Jahl and read to him the Qur'an. He hated the Qur'an. Khalas. His own uncle who loved him and protected him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet reads to him the Qur'an. I like it, but I'm not going to accept it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. Seek Allah through the Qur'an. Don't use the Qur'an for anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. The one who wishes to believe, believe. The one who doesn't, they can do as they wish. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينٌ. Whomever Allah opens their heart, alhamdulillah. But it becomes your duty to use the Qur'an to worship Allah. So you begin to read the Qur'an at night. After Salatul Isha, Akhi, Ukhti, begin to look into the word of Allah. You say, Brother Yahya, why at night? Because the Qur'an is for night. Wallahi. And if you don't read the Qur'an at night, you don't know the Qur'an. This is the truth. Don't be upset. Begin. You will see what I mean. Allah says, Qur'an al-Fajr. The Qur'an of Fajr. Kana mashhuda. It's witnessed. Something else. Qur'an was recited by night. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does Allah say to him? Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum, ha? Qum al-layla illa qaleela. Stay awake at night doing what? Reading the Qur'an except few hours. Nisfahu, half of the night. Or little or more, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You might say, Brother Yahya, how much do I have to read? Some nights, the Prophet ﷺ would read one ayah. Aisha radiallahu anha, as is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, she was in her udhr, she's unable to pray. She says, as I was sleeping, I heard the Prophet ﷺ yakhtimu al-ma'idah. He was ending Surah al-Ma'idah, where he was making the dua, he was reciting that Allah says the dua of Isa alayhi salam, in tu'adhibuhum fa'innahum ibaduk. Ya Allah, if you punish them, they are your servants. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you forgive them, you are the most wise and the most just, Ya Allah. Aisha says, I went to sleep. When I woke up a little before Fajr, he was still repeating the same. Ayah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read from the Qur'an what you know. Come close to Allah. Some people, they say, Brother Yahya, how did you memorize the Quran? How do people memorize the Quran? This kitab, it has 15 lines. Okay? Trust me. This print, 15 lines. And it has 600 pages, a little over, 602 or 604. 600 pages. If after Salat al-Fajr, you open the kitab, anywhere, you know, you begin to pick a surah that you want, maybe. You sit with an ustaz and he says, we're going to learn Surah Yasin or Al-Kahf. And you memorize one line, just one line. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى Repeat that 20, 30 times. Takes you about 5 minutes. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى Come Salatul al-Dhuhr. إِنَّنِ أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعَبُدْنِي Say it 20, 30 times. Come Salat al-Asr. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةَ 30, 40 times. By the end of your day, Ya Abdullah, you have memorized 5 lines. That's here. In 3 days, you've memorized the page. In 1 week, you've memorized Surah Al-Kahf. This is it. 7 days. Khalas. All it is what did we say? Sincerity, taqwa, and ilm, and seeking qurba, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and practicing what it is. Wanting to know what is this? وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى This is part of Surah Taha, which we will do the tafsir on Saturday and Sunday. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ Ya Musa, I chose you. Could you imagine hearing that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from one man of mankind, اخْتَرْتُكَ Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a more magnificent word. Not al-mukhtar, but al-mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I purified you from the chosen ones, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3 days you memorize a page. A week or two you memorize Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Yasin. A month, a juz. You're moving. You begin to have a relationship with the Quran, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish to give final hadith from our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that we can stand for Salatul Isha. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in the authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi where he says to us about the virtue of the Qur'an. He says, الصيام والقرآن يشفعان للعبد. And there's a narration similar to it in Sahih Muslim. Siyam and Qur'an make shafa'ah for a person. يقول القرآن يا رب Qur'an will come on the Day of Judgment and stand in front of Allah and say, Ya Rab, my Lord, مَنَعْتُهُ النَّوْمَ بِاللَّيْلِ I kept him awake at night because the Qur'an is read when? Night. I kept him awake at night. فَشَفِعْنِ فِيهِ Oh Allah, let me make shafa'ah for him. يَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُؤْتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Two people shall be brought on the Day of Judgment, a husband and wife. The hadith is narrated by Imam Ibn Khuzaymah al-Tabrani and it's sahih. Two people will be brought on the Day of Judgment. فَيُكْسَى حُلَّتَيْنِ They'll be given jewelry and clothing, al-karama, of honor. وَتَاجًا مِن نُورٍ And a crown woven and stitched from light. ضَوْءُهُ مِثْلَ ضَوْءِ الشَّمْسِ The brilliance and radiance of that light exceeds the sun. فَيَقُولَ They're going to say to each other, husband and wife, بِمَا كُسِينَ هَذَا Why did they give us this? I think they were calling Aisha, but not you, the real one. They were looking for the real Aisha. You're just called Aisha. Why? Look at this. This Quran. We haven't done anything to deserve this. Why did you give us this? So they will ask the angel. The Prophet ﷺ says, they will say to the angels with them, Bima, why did you give us this? فَيَقُولَ The angels, the group will say, بِأَخْذِ وَلَدِكُمُ الْقُرْآنِ Because you helped your child take the Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. Not them, but they helped their son, their daughter, love and hold and learn the Qur'an of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم He says to us about the virtue of the Qur'an. كل حرف فيه حلاوة Every letter in it has a particular sweetness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that sweetness is tasted by some and not others. And it's an acquired taste. Some people, they recite the Qur'an and it's heavy on the tongue. It's difficult. But as they begin to progress, it acquires the taste. The ease of sitting and the ease of listening and the ease of reading becomes greater and greater in ease upon them. The final hadith of the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ that I narrate to you tonight is narrated by Imam Al-Bukhari. From the hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wa ardah, the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ يُرِذِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ The one whom Allah wishes for him good, he gives him understanding of the religion. All of the Imams, they say understanding of the religion, أَيَّعْمَلَ بِالْقُرْآنِ That he lives according to the teachings of the Qur'an. اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت إنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفد نرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك إن عذابك بالكفار ملحق اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته